All right, fine. Genesis chapter 1. Welcome to our session this afternoon, workshop. I am going to hit you with a topic that most of you probably have not heard one person speak on yet, probably in your whole Christian experience. I'm preaching on the topic of transgender. Pioneering a new creature, the radical attempt to achieve happiness. Do you realize that you live in a very, very strange day? Anybody know what I mean when I say transgender? Help me out here. Okay, what do I mean? Help me out. Landon, what do I mean?
Not sure if you're a female or male.
Okay, what are you thinking?
Male to female or female.
Yes, when you're transitioning from one gender to another. Okay, now I'm going to talk about this, and for parents, I'm going to be very careful here, so I'm not going to say anything. I think I'm not going to say anything that's terrible here, but I want to just bring an awareness to our topic here today. I want to help us to see we are not being critical of anybody. We are being, Christians are the frontline first responders. When we have moral decay in the day in which we live, when we have the needs of our community, Christians should see the need, gear up, and respond to it. Okay? Unfortunately, we take a very passive role. Aren't you glad that police don't take a passive role when there's a need? Somebody's breaking into your home and they don't sit around and think, oh, I wonder what we should do, or maybe we should pray about that, I don't know. You know, our police officers, our firefighters, our EMTs, our first responders, they run in and handle business. And our this generation, your generation, is under attack. The enemy is working in great ways, and I want to help you here today. So our session is called Pioneering a New Creature, the Radical Attempt to Achieve Happiness. Okay, so we're in Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Okay, so he created them, male and female. So the question is, I'm going to give you a few of them. What is transgender? What is transgender? Wikipedia says it like this. Transgender people are people who have a gender identity or a gender expression that differs from their assigned gender. Okay? This is the expression of a gender that you are not. So if you were born a male and you wanted to become another gender, you would be considered a transgender. And I say another because it's not always male to female. Sometimes it's male to nothing. Okay? Okay, you're stumped like I am, right? You're thinking, what? To what? It's called non-binary, okay? WebMD says it like this. The assigning of someone's gender is based on biology, okay? We have chromosomes, anatomy. Ladies, if you want to grab these seats right here, you can do that. Sorry, we don't want to make a spectacle of you, but we will here for just a second. Assigning of someone's gender is based on biology, right? We would agree? Chromosomes, anatomy, hormones. But a person's gender identity is their inner sense of being male or female or both, which doesn't always match their biology. Okay, so now listen, because we're talking about something. Transgender people say they were assigned a certain gender at birth, which that isn't true to who they are. Many people have assumptions about what it means to be transgender, but it isn't about a surgery or an orientation or even how somebody dresses. It's how they feel on the inside. Okay, are you hearing the problem with this? Have you guys ever felt sad one day? Is that a yes? I mean, are you alive? Okay, good. Have you ever felt happy the next day? Have you ever got sad the next day? Have you ever just felt like, I don't care? Feelings change, don't they? It's kind of a dangerous thing to start living life based on feelings. Okay, so a person transitioning is exclusively based on a person's feelings, how they feel on the inside, okay, which demands that they completely ignore what's happening on the outside, okay? All right, so transgender is when someone identifies as a different gender than what they really are in an effort to achieve personal happiness, okay? They're looking to achieve happiness, fulfillment. What they say is like there's this little boy who's transitioning to be a girl, and when I say little, I'm talking 6 years old, 4 years old, who are telling their parents that they're another gender. I have a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and now a baby. and none of them would be able to articulate any kind of argument for why they were another gender. So I don't know how these kids are doing it, but they're doing it. So they're saying, I feel like a boy trapped in a girl's body. And I'm thinking, wow. Well, give it a few days and it'll probably change. Okay? WebMD says, the happiness and relief someone feel when they are living out their true gender allows them to go forward in other aspects of life. This is dangerous stuff I'm sharing with you here, okay? So what exactly happens when a person transitions to another gender? I'm going to give you a few things here, okay? They identify as a different gender than the one they were born as. Again, we said boy to girl to boy to nothing, girl to nothing, and then all kinds of combinations. By the way, there are 63 different genders out there. Did you know that? You can find them all right here in Genesis chapter 21. No, there's two. But in the world, if you look it up, there's 63 different genders out there. And you can get them on your driver's license if you want. Okay? This transition happens in many ways. It happens, one, through a social profile. Instead of being called Steve, you're now being called Stephanie. Instead of being called, you know, Carla, you're now Carl. Okay? You change your name. You also begin to change your outward appearance. You begin to change your clothes, you begin to change your hairstyle, you begin to change your makeup. You guys wear makeup? Okay, so you don't change your makeup, you just put makeup on. Maybe that's the way you do it. You have different pronouns and different things that you use. And by the way, I think you can get in trouble somewhere. I think it's in California. They have a law, or they have passed a law. I'm not sure if they have or not. But if you call Bruce Jenner instead of Caitlyn Jenner, or if you call somebody who's a transitioning person by the wrong pronoun, you can get a fine or even be put in jail for hate crimes. Welcome to the world. Okay? So there's a social profile, there's an outward appearance, but there's also biological alteration, and this is where I need to be a little bit more careful on how we approach some of this. But there's two different things that are happening in the medical profession, in the medical world. This is why doctors, parents, be with your kids when you go to the doctor's office, because they're asking your kids interesting questions to see if they can help them. I found it very interesting when I went to the doctor the other day. They were prepping me to give me antidepressant medicine. Are you ever sad? Well, yeah, some days. You know, do you feel lonely? Well, my wife's gone. And I'm like, why are you asking me all these weird questions? Aren't you supposed to be like taking my blood? We just want to make sure that you're not depressed. I'm like, lady, can you just do what you're supposed to do here? But they're prepping to try to change people. Okay, I'm not trying to be a conspiracy person, but listen. The medical field is now pursuing how to change these transitioning kids. And I'm talking about your age group. They're giving them two different things. One's called hormone blocker. It puts a pause button on the life change that happens in your life in these teenage years, okay? And starting at age 10, 11, somewhere in there, parents are now giving their kids hormone blockers to slow down that process. Once you come off those hormone blockers, you know, that body change begins to happen pretty quick, unless they don't want to go back to the gender they were assigned at birth. And they call it an assigning instead of a creation, because assigning sounds like somebody did that for you. You didn't choose that, somebody did that for you. But then there's another thing called cross-sex hormones. And this is where they permanently change your body. So if you one day were a boy, born a boy, and you decided when you were 6 years old that you wanted to be a girl and you began to put on girls' clothes, you would take these hormone blockers to slow down the body change of being a boy. And then at a certain point in your transition period, they would give you hormone blocker or cross-sex hormones, which means you begin to take the hormones of the opposite gender. If you were a boy transitioning to be a girl, you would take estrogen. And that would begin to do things. It would give you softer skin. It would give you different female features on your face. It would cause you to talk differently. It would cause you to walk differently. And it would cause you to have different body features that would belong only to a woman. It's pretty weird, isn't it? Now listen, young people. These young people are hurting. And it says here, a doctor said this. He says, how can we believe that 12, 13, and 14-year-olds have the capacity to make this kind of decision for themselves? This is one of the leading doctors in Chicago who's leading the way on doing this kind of stuff. And he's saying, these kids, how can we expect them to make these kinds of decisions? Once you begin to take those cross-sex hormones, those hormones of that other gender, you are now doing something that is irreversible. The language of all the studies is fraught with vagueness, which means they have no idea what's happening. They have no idea what they're doing. They're pioneering a new kind of creature. No one knows how these medications that are not for gender reassignment, by the way, these medications that they're giving them, they're not designed for what they're doing because they don't have anything for what they're doing because this is all so new. They have no idea how this will affect these young people down the road. One parent called this generation of young people pioneers, hence our title, pioneering a new creation, a creature, an attempt to, a radical attempt to achieve happiness. You may ask yourself, Pastor Weber, are transgender people coming against any problems in their pursuit of happiness, which is our second point? Yes. What happens when they want to stop? Has anybody in here watched 60 Minutes at all? Okay, nobody? Man, alive. Yeah, there's a lot of that stuff. 60 Minutes just did a big story, broke a big story on a young man from Australia who his mom gave him hormone blockers and then gave him cross-gender hormones, which would be estrogen for him, turned him into, almost completely transitioned him into being a girl minus a few, minus some pretty major details about his physical features. And but from all outward appearance, this was a girl, a teenage girl. And you all in this room, if he was standing right here, you would never would have known it was a boy. That's how convincing it is. Okay? One day he wakes up, goes to his mom and says, Mom, I'm not a girl anymore, I'm a boy. That's a big problem, don't you think? Because now he's got to go through all kinds of surgeries to change the way that he looks. Our kids, listen, and you guys maybe don't understand this because you don't have kids. Some of us do in the room, but you know, our kids are precious treasures from heaven. This is child abuse as far as I'm concerned, because parents are doing things like these kids that we have no idea what's going to happen. So are they coming up against any problems? I'm going to give you four problems, okay, that they're coming up against. Four problems. Number one, the biggest problem they have is they're disregarding Bible truth, okay? And I'm going to explain to you why that's a huge problem for them. Their pursuit is for happiness, is to be freed from this cage that they're in, to get to the place where they're happy. Well, God made you a certain way. Listen, young people, God made you a certain way on purpose. And he made you that way because he has a specific task for you. And you might say, I don't like the way I look, or I don't like, you know, these certain features about my body or any of that kind of stuff. Well, listen, God made you that way. And you want to get to the place in your life where you wrestle with, okay, Lord, I don't like this thing about who I am, but I like everything about you, and you made me this way, and therefore I need to be this way. And therefore I'm embracing truth. Because God created you this way. When God created you, he looked at your life and he said, it is good. Okay? And young people, there's one thing that you get from this time together here today, is that you wrestle with and you embrace the fact that God made you that way. And I know some of you are at a very awkward stage in your life, but I want to help you here today and help you to understand it will get better, by the way. Okay? It will get better. And things will get better. But when you, hang on one second. When you reject God's word, okay, you reject God's presence. And when you reject God's presence, you reject joy. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible tells us in Psalm 16:11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. You want to get happy, you want to be happy, well, you receive everything that God's giving you, you embrace all of who God is and all of what God has made you, and you get into the presence of God and you will know true joy, true happiness. Did you have something you wanted to ask? First problem. First problem was clear disregard for Bible truth. Clear disregard for Bible truth. Okay, number two, the path is influenced by the enemy. Okay, this pursuit, this path for true happiness is influenced by the enemy. There's many marks along the path. I'm going to mention them to you, that the enemy is destroying your generation. Listen, these are the people you're going to have to reach, young people. Some of you preachers, that God's going to call you to these mission fields. And it's not just America. This is around the world. Europe is probably a lot further along than we are here in America. But there's confusion, okay? A transgender teen said one day, I was born this way. And what they're saying is, I was born really a girl. Even though I was a boy, I was really a girl. Well, that's confusing. Well, for them, because that's not how they were born. God says, I made you a certain way, and that's the way I made you. Another transgender teen says, I found out I was a transgender from watching YouTube. Well, there's a source of authority if I've ever heard it. Well, they're confused. Okay? It's not a choice. It's who we are. But the enemy is digging in, and he's trying to hurt these people. He's trying to kill them. In fact, we'll talk about that in a second. A leading doctor said the children are confused. The parents are feeling obligated to give in to the desires of their kids because of the second problem, which is death. Okay, so there's confusion, which comes from the enemy, and death, or murder, which comes from the enemy. John 8:44, ye are father of the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, because he a liar and a murderer. Two things there in that passage. Sorry for messing that verse up. Suicide rate for the general public is 4.6%. The suicide rate for the gay community is 10 to 20%. The suicide rate for the transgender community is 41%. 41%. So you could almost say one out of every two transgender person who's trying to transition either has committed suicide or is trying to commit suicide. Almost one out of every two. That's alarming. So I don't know about you, but I don't think they're achieving their purpose. Doesn't sound like a very happy life, does it? Their life is saturated with anger and depression. Most all transgender teenagers live with anger and depression on a daily basis, due to the fact that they're not socially accepted. Their peer group, for the most part, rejects the idea, or it's kind of embarrassing to say, I'm not really this, I'm that. It's kind of a weird thing to do. Nobody really knows how to do it. They're physically abused. They're sexually abused. They're bullied. All these things. And I'm not talking about out in the world. I'm talking about in schools. These are statistics from schools. Their family acceptance, their families, a teenager, oftentimes when a teenager says, I'm this or I'm that, the parents will reject it, say, no, it's not true, or one parent will, one parent won't, and it's very hard. Hormone modifications mess with your mind, okay? Depressed and angry. Now listen, this generation of young people have been put in the petri dish of some mad scientist. Okay, will one day wake up and realize that they've been hurt big time. And it's going to be about 10 years down the road when a lot of you young people are in behind pulpits or in ministry opportunities where you're going to be leaders. And you're going to have a lot of bitter and angry people who are physically and mentally messed up. And you're going to have to know how to jump in like a first responder and help these people. Okay? This is your generation I'm talking about. I'm not even talking about the older generation, because all they did was wear different clothes. This generation is actually trying to change their whole physical makeup. Okay? They're attacking this generation, your generation, and the enemy needs your generation to change tomorrow. If he can grab a hold of this generation and change it, he will. The third problem. So the first problem is disregard for Bible truth. The second problem is the influence of the enemy. The third problem is the wrong influences. We have friends who are influencing teenagers to make these decisions, passive parenting. Again, parents feel like they must do whatever the child wants because they're being threatened with suicide. Parent is saying, no, we're not going to do this. And the child says, well, then I'm going to kill myself. So the parent feels like their hands are tied. They don't know how to help. This is where good Christian friends who live on the block can be such a help to some of these young people. Listen. Get out in your community and be friends to the kid next door because you have no idea what he's facing in his home. Go out and pray with him. Hey, man, I see you outside playing basketball. You know, I like basketball. Maybe we can shoot hoops. Can I pray with you about anything? You know, that's the most fascinating thing. I do that with my neighbors all the time. I have a neighbor, Mr. Bush, next door. I said to him one day, I said, hey, just want you to know I pray for you every day. Is there anything I can pray for you about? He opened right up. Oh, yeah, my wife and this job situation, this whole thing. So every time I see him, hey, how's the job situation going? How's your wife doing? I'm praying for you guys. Totally different conversation. And you guys can start doing that as young people. You've got a generation of hurting young people. You can get out there and be a good influence. Social media, I don't necessarily have one problem or another with social media. I don't use it. I don't think it's just, I don't have time for it. But social media is a platform that supports this agenda and prospers these ideas. Obviously, YouTube, I mentioned, when most of these young people are finding out about this stuff, a lot of young people who are transitioning are documenting their transition on YouTube. Okay, mainstream media, they support, condone, glorify this transition thing, the life of reality show personality Jazz Jennings and many others, Bruce Jenner, some of these other people. There's another wrong influence. It's called imaginary friends. You may not know what I'm talking about, but I'm very careful with imaginary friends. I don't think it's a joke. I think it's a big deal. I don't know if you're familiar with demons, but demons often look like imaginary friends. And I'm always just very careful when I hear somebody, and a lot of these kids talk about how they have these imaginary friends that tell them to do certain things. 1 Timothy 4 tells us about seducing spirits, okay? So they are under attack. They have wrong influences. The fourth problem is no objective foundation. The things that they're doing and the places they're going and what they're looking for, it doesn't have a strong footing, so there's no objective foundation. Everything's based on subjectivity, my feelings, which are subject to change. Objective is something hard, you know, like the floor we're standing on right now. It's objective, okay? It's hard. It's not fluid. The difference between building your house upon the sand and building your house upon the rock. One's objective, the rock, the one's subjective, the sand. One changes and shifts when it's pushed upon, the other one doesn't. It's always consistent. Okay, there's no documentable proof of what will happen to these kids. It's very subjective. We're just learning some of these things. What happens when they change their minds? Because they are on a pretty consistent basis. One of the last session asked me what's happening with the kids. Are they looking for help? So there are starting to see some trickle down. It's going to take a little time, but there's a little trickle at this point of some of that happening. This generation of pioneers has cast off all moral restraint for the promise of maximum happiness. They've been lied to. All moral restraint is out the window. So what do we do with these pioneers? Okay, so what are we going to do, young people? What are we going to do? How are we going to be a help, right? Because that's our job. We're Christians. We're first responders. How are we going to help them? If any of you are familiar with 2 Timothy chapter number 2, I'm going to read the passage of Scripture and we'll talk about it here a little bit. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 24, it says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those who oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will." We need to be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need to be critical. We don't need to get angry. We don't need to throw up our hands in frustration. We don't need to think that this is an unsolvable problem. There's nothing new under the sun. This is not the first time that this has happened. Maybe this is the first time in our existence we've seen it, but this is a problem I'm sure that has happened throughout human history if God tells us that there's nothing new under the sun. We need to be servants of the Lord, which means we need to be gentle with these people. When people are hurt, the worst thing you can do is beat them with a stick. We don't need to condone their behavior, but we don't need to beat them down with Bible truth. We need to be able to teach them the truth about what God says. What does God say about who you are and what He does, what He wants you to be? We need to realize that they literally oppose themselves. They have an inner fight here. And like I said, you guys are going to face a generation of angry people unlike we have probably ever seen in the world because of what's happening to these poor kids. And we need to see that they're victims. And an enemy, the enemy has them locked up in this cage. And what we need to do is by God's grace and with God's truth, we need to recover them out of the snare of the devil. That's what we need to do. We need to set them free. And the only way you can set people free is with Bible truth.